Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It seems that I have not seen you for ages, do you? But I've been around. I'm either at Woodland Center or East Center. Pastor Tori and I try to be at East Center once a month. All right, and so if I'm not around, that means I'm still working elsewhere, so not to worry. We have enjoyed preaching through the Gospel of Matthew this entire year with the spiritual burden all in for Jesus and His kingdom. Say to your neighbor next to you, you made it. You know, from time to time, the speaker would have shown you this Matthew's gospel framework, how the book has been divided. So let me remind you again, this came from Pastor Ben. So you can see that the gospel of Matthew is divided into three segments, right? According to the divisions, 1 to 4, 4 to 16, 16 to 28. And embedded in the entire 28 chapters are five discourses on your extreme right. All right, these are teachings by the Lord Jesus Christ to represent His heartbeat to His church. Most of you will not remember, but the very first sermon that He preached was this sermon outline called the Kingdom Inauguration. This is the next slide. The Kingdom Inauguration representing the new beginnings, Kingdom Inversion, new way of living. And finally, kingdom inclusion, new sense of belonging. You see, the Gospel of Matthew essentially is about how the kingdom of God breaks on earth and how you and I, having received the kingdom of God right now, can go all in for Jesus and His kingdom. Now, today we come to the final verses of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 16 to 20, more commonly known as the Great Commission, but the three preachers have decided to retitle it as the Great Co-Mission. Pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You that the gospel of the kingdom is about how You send Jesus Christ to go all in for us by His vulnerable incarnation and birth as a baby in a manger. By the cruel crucifixion of Christ on Good Friday, and by the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. We bow in humble worship this morning because we could never understand why You love us so much and would do so much for us. Lord, we owe our life to You and pray by the power of the Holy Spirit we may render to You, Lord, our life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to You. Lord, empower us to go all in for Jesus wherever You have placed us. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Great Commission is really the great co-mission with God. It is God's special invitation to His redeemed people to join Him in this grand adventure of faith. I'd like to share with you the two dimensions of this great co-mission. And outline will be very familiar to you. First is the inward journey, a life of authentic discipleship. And secondly, the outward journey, a life of intentional disciple-making. These are the core components of our mission statement in our church. Let's look at the first point for today, the inward journey, a life of authentic discipleship. Read the scriptures with me from Matthew 28, verse 16 and 17. Are you ready? One, two, go. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Now, don't rush past these two verses too quickly because they are packed with so much meaning, memory, and significance. Let me highlight three to you. Firstly, scholars noted that the mention of 11 disciples is the only time that is found in the Gospel of Matthew, whereas this was mentioned 4 times in the book Luke-Acts. And I believe it is to communicate to us that the scripture does not hide the sad and ugly fact that one of their very own, Judas Iscariot, had fallen away from the faith. And he betrayed Jesus for a mere 30 pieces of silver, which is the price of a slave that you buy at the market. Now, this is what Jesus was worth in Judas's eyes, 30 pieces of silver. Let's pause and try to connect with this, because this is the reality of our Christian pilgrimage. Because every one of us here would have known of some people would have fallen away from their faith, even though they were very zealous right at the beginning. And therefore, it is a sober warning for all of us to search our hearts deeply, inwardly, whether we are living as authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. Not perfect disciples of Jesus Christ, authentic disciples of Jesus Christ, knowing where we are and making effort by God's help to move to where God wants us to be. It's not by our mere strength. So as the scriptures, as Paul says, let's take heed lest we fall away. The second thing I'm going to highlight for you is that it is interesting that these 11 disciples were directed to go specifically to the mountain in Galilee. And so you ask, why mountain in Galilee? Now, clearly, we were told in Matthew 26, verse 32, as well as Matthew 28, verse 7 and 10, that Jesus told them, go to Galilee, because after my resurrection, I will meet you there. So they were obeying an instruction of Jesus. But still, you ask, why the mountain? And you will find that in the gospel account, the mountain are very special. It's where Jesus had special encounter and experiences. For example, remember the temptation of the devil where Satan took him to the high mountain and tempted him? Remember the Sermon on the Mount? The Olivet Discourse was done on the high hills. His prayer time and solitude was not just in the wilderness. The Bible says that he also goes to the mountain. Also remember the Mount of Transfiguration. And now we come to the end of Matthew's Gospel, and this will be the final mountain scene for all mountain lovers. Final mountain scene for Jesus' most significant words to his disciples. So that solves the mystery of the why at the mountain, because it's a very significant encounter always in the life of Jesus. And then you ask, okay, but why Galilee? Mountain in Galilee. I quote one scholar who said, Jesus wanted to reconstitute his disciples as the apostolic band, especially in the place where they had been trained and spent the major part of their ministry. Yes, we all will recall it was at this place that they were caught. And Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, one of the things that we got to realize is that the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ was not just to save the house of Israel. Right from the very start, he knew that he came not just to save the house of Israel, but for everybody in the world. And we might miss this in the early part of Matthew's gospel, for example, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. Let me read it for you. The Bible says, now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Verse 15, it says, the land of Zebulun. And you ask, where on earth is Zebulun? It's to the northern side of Galilee. And the land of Naphtali, where is it? On the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And it says, in the land of Galilee, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, and come these interesting words, the Galilee of the Gentiles. I have never seen these four words before in my life. Until I was reading this, is it Galilee of the Gentiles? What is that? Well, the Bible does not leave us to guess. It describes what this Galilee of Gentiles is all about. It's the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. You see, right from the get-go, the Lord Jesus Christ, He has come to bring a gospel not just to the children of Israel, but also to the Galilee of the Gentiles. And this is where we conclude that Jesus directed His disciples to the mountain in Galilee for what? That He might recommission them. Not just a commissioning, a recommissioning, but to a new scope altogether. It is a universal mission to reach all the nations. Brothers and sisters, this inward, authentic discipleship journey has a missional component. Now, let's not miss that. It's not just about God searching our hearts and dealing with temptations and sins in our life. There is a clear missional component in our life. And I'll elaborate this on my second point afterward. But suffice for us right now to search our hearts in this inward journey and see how much it beats for the unreached peoples of the world. You know, if you really, really want to get your heart beating for missions, number one, start praying. If you don't know where to start praying, you can go to Operations World. Every day, there's something for you to pray. This morning, I prayed for Uzbekistan. Someone said, huh, Uzbekistan? Where is Uzbekistan? And you can get information of just praying for people that you don't know, but you can pray. The other encouragement I want you to have is that if you want your heart to beat for mission, just go for a short-term mission trip. Not sign up as a missionary yet. Just 5 to 7 days out there. And this season, there are quite a number of our church members who are out in the mission trip. And I always hear wonderful testimonies and stories and how they have been so much blessed more than they are giving to those places that they are going to. And so consider these two things so that our heart can beat after the unreached peoples of the world. And we don't want to travel? Okay, join the migrant works. Every once a month, last Sunday of the month, I think, there is an outreach in Sungai Tengah, just blessing our migrant guests, workers, and guests. How many people live there? 25,000 people. We don't have enough people. You don't have to fly. You just take a bus, take your car to Sungai Tengah. And there, when I went there for the first time some months back, I tell you, it's a whole new world. Now, there's one last puzzling point in verse 17. And the scripture reads, when they saw Him, which is Jesus, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. So the question you have to ask yourself, who doubted? The Bible says, some doubted. Does it solve your problem? No, because some are out of the 11 disciples, or some outside the 11 disciples. Now, Bible scholars cannot be conclusive about this. So we don't know for sure. So one day when we go to heaven, we will ask Matthew the tax collector, like, who are those who doubted? But another direction we can take, instead of asking just who doubted, we ask, why did they doubt? Doesn't matter who, but why did some doubt? So scholars highlighted that the verb used, doubted, distazo, occurs in the New Testament only once here and in Matthew 14, 31. So you ask, what's Matthew 14? Matthew 14 is all about Peter walking on water. Right, remember? He says, Jesus, ask me, come, I walk on water. So he started to walk on water. Miraculous. But then the storm and the waves, he stared at them. He started to sing. Jesus stretched off his hands. And then Jesus said to him these words, why did you doubt? Same word that is used in Matthew 28 over here. So some scholars commented that the Greek word distazo does not mean unbelief or disbelief, but simply a state of hesitation. Now, if you read that in that light, then one of the things that we can conclude is that even though the disciples had seen the risen Christ, and Jesus Christ at this point has already appeared to them at least twice, all right, at least twice, yet, being human, they were grappling with a deep sense of desperate fear and despair that their beloved Messiah, Jesus Christ, was crucified. And even though he is risen, they are still growing in their full faith and maturity in the risen Christ. Now, remember something that we know but they don't know, is that they were also waiting for the empowering of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, isn't it? And then Pentecost came, they were completely transformed, and they rose as spiritual giants to carry out the mission of Christ. I like what one scholar said that talks about this sense of our humanness, our failures, our doubts, our hesitation. He said this, he says, Jesus' resurrection did not instantly transform men of little faith and faltering understanding into spiritual giants. I hope this is comforting for all of us. Another scholar said that even in this climactic scene of Matthew's gospel, the disciples are not those of exemplary faith, but they brightly worship Jesus. So here's something for us to reflect. That is an important lesson that while we all live to worship Jesus because he loved us, he saved us. And we want to live the rest of our life worshiping him. But you know, sometimes the circumstances of life can be very overwhelming. So overwhelming that we begin to possess little faith. If we are found in those situations, as you may be find yourself in certain situations like this today, then remember this final mountain scene where even the disciples who had seen the risen Christ doubted or hesitated. And therefore for us, just like the disciples did, they waited for the full empowering of the Holy Spirit to come upon their life so that they can live their life and carry out the mission that God has entrusted to them. And in that way, it is a journey, an inward journey, where we continue to live as authentic disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, this is the first great co-mission with Jesus. It is essentially first an inward journey, a life of authentic discipleship. I attended the men's breakthrough weekend just 2 weeks ago. In fact, when I was thinking of sharing this, I didn't know that this Sunday service highlighting this as a thanksgiving. And during the men's spiritual prep before the breakthrough weekend, I said these sincere, honest words to the men that were gathered. I said to them, there's no place that I'd rather be than to be at the men's breakthrough weekend. I mean it. I've been to a few countries in the world. I'd rather to be at the men's breakthrough weekend. Why? Because I tell you, there I see the holy presence of God. There I see a deep workings of God. There I see men who are not perfect, struggling in all our whatever, but determined to fall down and worship God and surrender to him the things that baffle us, the things that messes us up. We repent, we pray, we say, God, grant us a new start. And that's what I see in a men's breakthrough weekend, that allow God to break into our life, where we break with things that displeases God, and we experience breakthrough upon breakthroughs upon breakthroughs, because it's never a one-time breakthrough in our life. That's so much that we have. We are like an onion. That's too much layer to peel in our lives. And God is very gracious often to deal with you one thing at a time. And so, my friends, I know next year is very far away. March, that's a marriage breakthrough weekend. Next men's movement is November, December. When the dates come up, consider coming. And I've said this publicly before, I say to you again, If you attend any of these breakthrough weekends, man, woman, or marriage breakthrough weekend, and you're not satisfied, I will refund you personally from my pocket. I mean it. I have no one coming to claim that yet. That's because I really believe it's not just a program. It is where God is present and we are present, wonders begin to happen. And so I encourage you to join this because this is one of our key transformational vehicle and strategy. Let's look at the second co-mission with God. And that is the outward journey, a life of intentional disciple making. Please read with me Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Ready? One, two, go. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Brothers and sisters, these verses are as familiar as John 3:16. Agree? Yes. But so familiar that we might lose its significance and spiritual burden and importance. So this morning I decided we'll try something different. All right, I will give you a quiz. Children, are you happy that your parents are now going through a quiz? You can relax. This is a quiz for your parents. But you are most welcome to participate because sometimes I think you can catch those things faster than your parents. Right? Are you ready? I have only three quiz questions, all right? Three quiz questions. The first, what is the word that appears in every verse and ties it all together? Your time starts now. Yes, I have a little girl who raised her hand. I'm so excited. What is the word? Sorry? That is true, but it's not a word. That is also true. I must give it to you. Claim your copy from Pastor Edmund Wong, okay? Very close, very close. What is the word? Oh, you see, you guys are all so well-trained. Oh. And so it is all authority, all nations, all that I commanded you, and the word always. And so you say, hey, play cheer, that's not all. But in the Greek, it is all, right? The word P-A-S, pass. And you can consider this the onus of the Great Commission. Now, let me elaborate each of these very quickly, all right? Because I know some of you already know this. First of all authority. Now, remember, Jesus received his authority from God the Father, and then he hands it to his disciples and to us. And what is very important here, this delegated authority to do on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ is the omnipotent power and sovereign power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it makes sense for us not just to share the gospel, but to pray for pre-believing. In all the things that they go through, you pray because it is not our power, it's the power of the Lord Jesus that is able to act on behalf because he's a gracious God. He wants to bless. And so you can use that authority, so to speak, on behalf of the Lord Jesus to exercise that authority. Secondly, all nations. When you think about all nations, you've been taught probably, it is not about geographical countries or nation. It has to do with ethne, the people groups, the cultural groups, etc. and etc. And therefore, right here in Singapore, there are many, many cultural people groups, and as well as the various peoples of all the nations. So God is calling us to go to all nations, not in a sense of going to all the different countries, but to see where the unreached people groups are in the world so that we can intentionally go to these people. Thirdly, all that I commanded you, and this has been the missing key in the Great Commission. That's why some preachers call this the great omission. Because you cannot preach a gospel that does not have obedience, that leaves out the concept of obedience, the importance of obedience. And so this is something that we must continue to do and not promote easy believism. Because to me, it doesn't matter whether we are 18.8% of Christians in Singapore. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me we are 20%. Even doesn't matter to me we are 50%. Honestly, I don't care, yeah. But what I care about, if they are 18.8%, they better be passionate believers. That makes all the difference. Not just because you wear a title called Christian. There are too many Christians who are not living up to their name. And we need to repent and come back to what the Lord Jesus Christ calls us disciples that bears the image of God and carries the reputation of Christ. And share the gospel not just with our lips, but share them with our life. Finally, always. And this is very interesting where scholars say that, you know, in verse 18, you have the omnipotence of Christ. In verse 20, what do you have? You have the omnipresence of Christ. And this allows you to do what God wants you to do, to go make disciples. So this is something that is so key, and I pray that God would just help us to receive that omnipotence and the omnipresence of Christ to go about doing what He has called us to do. Now, second question. What is the main command or imperative in these three verses? I know you know the answer because you have heard this being spoken about before, that in this entire three verses, there is only one main imperative or one main verb. And the answer is? Sorry? Not go. Go will come soon, yeah. It is make disciples. This is the only main imperative or command in this entire three verses. That's why Calvin is so hot about this, making disciples. But let me clarify something for us. In English, make disciples, but in the Greek, only one word. It's called metatousate. It sounds like metatousate, but it's not, all right? Metatousate simply means disciple. But the only difference is in our English language, the word disciple is a noun. But in the Greek, it is a verb. Verb. So right now, the disciple becomes a verb. And therefore, English translated to make this word make sense, they use make disciples and making. But then the more accurate translation actually simply is disciple the nations, full stop. That is the main imperative command, disciple the nations. And if some of you will catch it right now, this is why Covenant EFC is all about discipling the generations, discipling Singapore, and disciple the nations. That's what we are all about because we believe we are obeying the Great Commission. So when we think about discipling the nation, we are not just talking about the mentoring groups that we have, although they are important, not talking about the DMKs, the disciple makers, helping our young people to grow. That's very important. We are really talking about people growing in full maturity, from non-believing to believing, and leading them to full maturity that is in Christ Jesus. So of course, it starts with the unreached and the unengaged. But the problem in the church today is this is also found in the church. Our children can suffer from that, being unreached and unengaged, even though they grew up in church and in Christian homes. And that's why we got to pay great attention to make sure we don't lose our next generations. So, brothers and sisters, this is the great commission that we have with Christ to disciple all peoples by winning them to Christ, by changing them through Christ, and by sending them back to win others for Christ. And in Covenant EFC, this is the disciple-making process that you see on our church walls, which is to win, change, and send. Okay, so what is the main imperative word in these three verses? It is make disciples or disciple the nation, all right, which is so important. Final quiz question. How do you go about discipling the nations in these three verses? There is a three-word answer. Just now, the going already is one of the answers. What about the other two? Go. Second one. Baptizing. Third one. Teaching. Let's show them the answer. Yes. So these are the three ways we go about carrying out making disciples or discipling the nations. Now, in Greek, these three words are called participles. What are participles? Participles has two unique characteristics. It is function as a verb and an adjective. Function as a verb and adjective. I know it sounds like an English class this morning. Function like a verb and an adjective. In other words, right now, it functions as a verb in that if you don't do this, you cannot make disciples. It also describes how this is being done as an adjective. All right, so this is where without doing these three things, we cannot carry out the mandate of discipling the nation. Now, let me just pause to say one more thing. We look at this and say, oh, but of course, we understand this. But to the disciples, early disciples, it is very new. Why? Because in their understanding all this while, the missionary work of Israel was centripetal. Not what centipede, centripetal. Centripetal means they stay put, people come, be blessed. They just got to stay there. But this is not a centripetal command right now. This is a centrifugal. It means you go out. You don't wait for people to come to you. You go out. And that is why you going, baptizing, and teaching, and making disciples. It is very proactive in moving beyond our comfort zone or where we are staying. Okay, three quiz question. How do you think your neighbor did? Fantastic, yeah, okay. The only time you know this is fantastic is that the next time someone asks you about, tell me about the Great Commission passage, if you go to these three things, you are pretty comprehensive, yeah. Okay, there are more things than that, but it will suffice for a Sunday morning. Okay, so this is all about the outward journey, a life of intentional disciple making. And in one sentence, it is all about disciple all the nations and peoples by going, baptizing, and teaching through the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In early November, the SPO team had the privilege to go to EFC Asia Conference held in Japan. This is only conducted once every 4 years. So we do have brothers and sisters in EFC Asia. All right. And there at the conference, I was struck all afresh again how much we owe a debt to the EFC America, our American brothers and sisters who have come to Asia over so many years. Let me show you some of the statistics. In 1888, wow, 1888, that's a very long time ago. 1888, EFC America sent their missionaries to Hong Kong. Hong Kong, which is known as EFC China right now. Today, EFC Hong Kong has 62 churches. Praise God. In 1949, shortly after the World War, EFC America sent their missionaries to Japan. EFC Japan today has 67 churches. In 1950, EFC America sent their missionaries to Philippines. Today, Philippines has 170 churches. 1961, EFC America sent their missionaries to Singapore. Today, EFC Singapore has 12 churches. 1963, EFC America sent their missionaries to Malaysia. Today, Malaysia has 12 churches. And if you ask, what about EFC America? Wow. EFC America has 1,600 churches in the US, and they have 550 missionaries around the world. Some years back, the president of Reach Global, which is the missionary arm of the Evangelical Free Church of America, signed a memorandum with us to say this one thing. Covenant EFC, you are our preferred partner anywhere in the world. Such a great privilege for such a huge organization to see Covenant EFC as one of the preferred partner in discipling the nation. For that, we are so humbled. But right now, we have an awesome responsibility. EFC America has sent over the last 100 years It is time for us to send. It is time for us to go. And I know increasingly there are more and more young people that feels the stirring of God in their heart to go. And as I said in, maybe I said this in Woodland Center, I may not say this here. Parents, when your child comes to you one day and says that, "Mom, Dad, I want to be a missionary." I've heard this said many, many times over and over again. The parents will say to the kid, "Kid, can 3 months or 6 months, maximum 1 year. After that, go get a proper job." And honestly, I'm very sad to hear this kind of comment. Yeah. I am doing a proper job, you know. But I tell you, more importantly, the missionaries that we send out there and together with all other missionary organizations or churches in the world, if we were to just step into their shoes and see their faith, their passion, their heart for God, your life will be changed forever. And I pray that it will be a privilege for some of us to send our children. Not everyone will go, but some will. And when you see it, I pray you endorse it and you say that, "What a privilege to set aside my children for the missionary force." Let me conclude the sermon for this morning. I share with you the two dimensions of the Great Commission. The first is there's an inward journey. I use the word journey because it really is a long, long journey. And especially this life of authentic discipleship, where we strive towards maturity, not perfection, maturity. Where we can persevere to worship God in spite of hesitation or doubts in our life, and there will be many. Because this world is a troublesome world. This world is a messy world. There will be trials and afflictions of all kinds. But we have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with us. And secondly, there is the outward journey. The inward must lead to the outward. And this outward of intentional disciple making is where we receive the mandate from God, the mission from God, to disciple the nations by going, baptizing, and teaching. And all this with the power and the presence of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, as I close the sermon right now, how might your life be different after today? How might your life be different after today? How might you grow as an authentic disciple and an intentional disciple maker? Because this is a task not just for the pastors, right? It's not just a task for the missionaries, right? It's not just a task for the elders or the deacons. No, it's a task for the church. Every one of us who are disciples, this is our task. And God will have different place and different responsibility for different ones of us. And perhaps as I close with this story, it will encourage you. It will encourage you. I was out stationed attending a fellowship meeting. I was on leave. I felt compelled to attend a fellowship meeting. That night I heard this story. It was so heartwarming. The person shared the story how she had to be hospitalized. So she was surprised because for the last couple of years she's been healthy. But now for no rhyme or reason, got to be hospitalized to do investigation. So she was a little bit troubled, a bit concerned, you know, what's going to happen. And then what was worse, in the hospital, she got moved from ward to ward. So you know what, things like this, you're already anxious, then you got moved here, moved there. After a while, you get pretty agitated, right? But in all this, she knows that, there must be something here for me. God would not have sent me here for no rhyme or reason. Lord, what is your purpose for me here? Now, I pause and say this. If I go to the hospital, my last question is, "God, what purpose do you have for me here?" Yeah. That'll be my last question, because my whole concern is, "Lord, get me well. Get me well, get me treated. Give me the best doctor, give me the best nurse, give me the all this thing." But to ask the question, "Lord, what is your purpose for me here?" Of course, in her mind, is besides treatment. But this is exactly what she asked. "Lord, what's your purpose other than treatment here? So one fine day, she was strolling down the corridor, and she saw a young person in great pain. She paused and says that, "Can I pray for you?" The lady says, "Yes," she was surprised. And she prayed. And then she walked on. A few days later, this lady that she prayed for got sent into the very ward next bed to her. Wow, she is beginning to see the purposes of God. She said, Lord, now I know why I'm here in hospital and for you sending someone who I prayed for right next to me right now. And she kept on praying. Friends came to visit her and they continued to pray and help this girl understand what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. She did not receive Christ immediately. She was discharged. They continued to keep up with her. Do Bible study with her, share with her, befriend her, pray with her, do all the things of life. And one fine day, this lady received the Lord Jesus Christ. And that very night in the fellowship meeting, there I was worshiping with God. And there she was sitting over there, full of happiness, joy. There is something about her that is different. God has delivered her and led her into this gospel journey. You know, I am very, very impacted by this story. Why? Because even in the difficult circumstances of one's life, when you're hospitalized, you can ask, what's the greater purpose of God? Wow, that's something to me. That's different kind of disciple. Where we see beyond the circumstance to ask, what's the heavenly purpose of God? And therefore, whatever it is, it becomes a conduit, it becomes a channel of the blessings of God through whatever circumstances that we are going through. And if we can learn from this sister who lived life that way, I believe we will be progressing as authentic disciples and intentional disciple makers. Let's pray together. This morning, as we pause right now, I'd like to speak to first, those who are not believers. You're not a Christian, but you are found worshiping in this service. And all I want to say to you, God understands all the doubts and problems and pains and hesitation that you might have in your life. He understands. And I want you to know that God this day wants to come to you and says that I came at Christmas. I died on Calvary on Good Friday. I am resurrected on Easter Sunday so that I might give you life. Life. So this morning, if you are not a believer and you're looking for life beyond this existential life, but something more meaningful, something that you know can carry you through all the troubles and challenges of your life, then this day I want you to know that Jesus wants to extend His relationship with you, to journey with you all through all the messes, chaos, and sins of life, because with his power, sovereign power, and His presence, the Lord will see you through. And so if you are not a believer, you are hearing me calling out to you, and you say, yeah, I really want to know this Jesus. I want to show you how you can know this Jesus after this service, all right? And so all I want you to do right now is just give an indication that you want to know this Jesus, and after the service, we would like to show you how to do that. Now, and so the count of 1, 2, 3, if you really want to know this Jesus, just lift up your right hand. All right, right hand to say, I want to know this Jesus. We'll show you how to do it. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Just lift up your right hand. If you want to know Jesus, this Jesus, just lift up your right hand. And after the service, you can come. And we'll show you how. Yes, yes. Yes. On my left, praise God. Yes, so we will just take note, and then after this service, we'd like to talk to you. We'd like to show you how you can know this Jesus. I got one on my right, one on my left. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may put down your hands right now. Now, for the rest of us as believers, I'm quite sure this is not a strange call to all of us. This is a familiar call, because it's our mission of our church to raise authentic disciples and intentional disciple makers by the grace and the power of the living God. And I'm just issuing this call afresh to you almost at the end of this year, for the Lord to begin His deeper work in your life. His greater work in your life. And He wants you to say, yes, Lord. I say yes to You to grow deeper and to grow further. I desire this kind of life. Authentic disciple, intentional disciple maker. So if this is something that you want to recommit yourself to God at the close of this year, right now, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet to say, Lord, give me a fresh fire from heaven and therefore help me to grow as authentic disciples and intentional disciple making makers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? You ready? Just stand. If you say, Lord, give me a fresh fire. Give me a fresh fire so that I can be Your disciple. To follow You. And to become fishers of men. Wherever God places you. Yes, just hold on for a while. This is a sacred moment where we worship Jesus and receive a fresh fire from Him. Not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. And even in the difficult circumstances of life, God can use you. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. We truly want to worship You so that we can be living witnesses of the gospel. So bless my brothers and sisters so that You empower them for the inward journey and the outward journey. For we thank You and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and let's sing this song, I Worship You and Worthy is the Lamb, because that's exactly why we should be doing what we are doing. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ.
What I love.
We're glad you had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.